Welcome to the podcast of Vertical Life Church. We hope and pray these messages encourage and challenge you to find your glorious purpose in Christ Jesus. For more information, visit us on the web at www.vlchurch.tv.
So if you're new with us today, we just want to say welcome. We believe everyone matters to God, and there's a reason why you're here today. It's not by accident. It's not by chance. God has drawn you here because I believe he has a word for you. And we believe here at Vertical Life Church, you come the same, but you leave changed. Because wherever the presence of God is, you're going to leave a little differently than the way you came in. And we still believe in a God who heals, a God who saves, a God who changes lives. And we're just excited for you to be a part of that. We are today in week three of a series we started a couple weeks ago called the Kingdom Parables. A parable is simply a story, and Jesus often told stories to kind of reveal deep truths. And so when he came on the scene, it says that he went around declaring that the kingdom of God is at hand, or that the kingdom of heaven is here. And so every story that he's telling, these parables, are insights into what this kingdom of God is. And it's somewhat of a mystery, because the ancient Israelites, they had been believing their prophets for thousands of years, really, that God was going to come, he's going to restore all things, he was going to restore the kingdom, and that the kingdom of Israel would rule over all the world, and everything would be at peace. And so they were waiting for these promises to come in. So when Jesus came on the scene and he said, yeah, that king, that Messiah that you've been waiting for, yeah, I'm that guy, they thought, okay, we're getting ready to have a party. Like, it's gonna be better than 1999. Like, this is gonna be awesome, right? But things didn't work out the way they thought it was gonna work out. And Jesus spent his ministry telling these stories, telling them, look, guys, you're expecting something, but that's not quite what is going to take place. And so he revealed that it's not a physical kingdom at this point that's coming, but there yet is the kingdom that's at hand. And so there is a future kingdom that is coming when he returns, but there's also the ability to experience that kingdom in the here and now, because wherever the love of God is on display and the power of God is at work and the word of God is declared, the kingdom is being opened up to those who would believe. And so we can experience the promises and glimpses of the glory of that kingdom that's coming simply by walking in fellowship with God, living by the Spirit, and doing the work that Jesus set aside for us to do. So the kingdom is yet, but it's also here now. It's an amazing thing that we can experience some of those promises even today. And so we're going to get into the first parable and the most important parable that Jesus taught about the kingdom of God. And you might ask, well, why is it the most important parable? And the answer is simply because Jesus said it was. In Mark chapter 4, verse 13, here's what he says. He says, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other ones? That must mean this one's pretty important, right? Like, if you don't get this one, how are you going to understand all the rest? So it's probably important we understand this parable, this one that he's trying to reveal to us. But the thing is even his disciples, his first disciples, the guys that followed him around, those 12 annoyances often, you know, that were following Jesus, you know, he's always like, oh, guys, how much longer must I be here? You know, I think there might have been a couple of times he prayed for the cross to come, you know, just saying, after some of the bickering and whining and complaining these guys did. But they came and they asked him, what is the meaning of this parable? Like, what is the deal? So if they struggled, then it's not a coincidence that we might struggle. We might. But the beauty of the fact that Jesus was there to ask. Jesus was there, right? And so Jesus, he tells them that, look, it might not be easy to understand, but I'm teaching these parables. I'm not just coming out plainly to tell people exactly what they want to know, because there's a reason for that. And he goes on in Matthew chapter 13, verses 11 through 15. He tells them why he's so mysterious with his teaching. It says, he replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. Right? So he's talking to his disciples. He's like, yeah, these parables are mysterious. They're hard to understand, but you get to hear that. You get to know the secrets. Other people don't. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That's why I use the parables. So if you want to know the secrets of the kingdom, it's probably important that you listen, right? And this is a fulfillment of prophecy, because the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, he writes this: when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. This is talking of the Messiah. He says, for the hearts of these people are hardened, for their ears cannot hear, and their eyes have closed, so they cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. In other words, Jesus taught parables to provoke hearts to lean in to what he was saying and to filter out those who really couldn't give a rip. Did you know there are people that come to church every week? Some are really hungry for what God has to say and what God is doing. Others just want to look like it. That's true. And a little trick pastors have, if you wait long enough and the crickets start chirping, it's really effective. But just think about that. That's what Jesus basically said. Right, so what he's teaching in a way that if your heart's really burning and on fire for the Lord, you're going to seek and you're going to find. You're going to go after it and you're going to discover. But if your heart is hard and you're really not interested, you're going to remain the same. And it's a shame, because what Isaiah prophesied for those whose hearts are hard is that they're given the very same opportunity everyone else is, but they miss it. And what do they miss? They miss the ability to be healed. That's what it says. They can't turn to me and let me heal them. Did you know Jesus wants to heal you today? And more than probably your body, he wants to heal your soul. Your mind, will, and your emotions. He wants to heal your eternal destination. He wants you to have a living relationship with him, not just so you can go to heaven one day, but so that heaven can come to you today. It's different. It's not religion, it's relationship. And that's what he wants for you. And often when the inside begins to heal, you'll see the outside heal. But many miss it because of the hardness of their hearts. And if you notice, if you've been here any length of time, if you notice, that's why when we open our services, we pray, God, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, a mind that understands, and a heart that can believe. It's for this very thing. I don't want to miss the opportunity to be healed today. I don't want to miss what God has for me today. So Jesus tells his disciples, man, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom. You have this great privilege. And you know what? It's a privilege others didn't have. Matthew 13, 16 through 17, he said, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. And I tell you the truth, many who? Many? Prophets. Many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. They long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. Have you ever read the Old Testament, like read what God did with like Elijah or Moses? I mean, Moses, he had it good in many respects. I mean, he parted the Red Sea. Often when I think of that, sometimes I think of that scene in Titanic where Jack is just like, you know, and just the waters part, you know. I just, he had it good, man. If you wanted a fairy tale story, Moses was living it. It was a really hard life, but he had some good things, some awesome things happen. The only guy to go into the tabernacle with the presence of the Lord and speak to God face to face, not die. Man, he had it good. But he longed to see what we see, and he didn't see it. We look back and we get jealous. Moses looked forward and was jealous. You have a privilege he didn't have. Why? Because Jesus has come. So my prayer for you and my prayer for me today was what the writer of Hebrews writes in conjunction with Isaiah, right? Hebrews 3, 14 and 16. He says, if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. So remember what it says. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart as Israel did when they rebelled. Did you know God is going to speak to you today? And you have one of two options: listen or ignore him. There's a blessing for you today. He's going to speak. And for some of you, it's going to be confirmation. He's going to confirm some things that he's already been speaking, some things he's already been doing, some things he's already been showing you. And it's going to be awesome. Others of you, it's going to be conviction. He's going to bring conviction. Why? Not to shame you, but because he wants to heal you. And he wants to break the hardness that's been crowding your heart so that he can touch you in a way that can bring deliverance and healing in your life. So my heart for you today and my prayer is don't harden your heart. Don't miss out on the blessing and the healing God wants to bring, because there is healing in this story. There is healing in his word. And what is the story? It's the parable of the farmer who scatters seed. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we echo the words we just read, the heart that you had, Jesus, for these disciples, for those that would gather in mass to hear you preach. God, we ask you to give us eyes to see, ears to hear, a mind that understands, and a heart ready to believe and receive all that you have for us today, God. And I pray, Holy Spirit, even now, you'd begin unlocking hard hearts. And when we get to that time of response, where we're able to respond to the word that you've presented to us today, God, I pray that we would respond and that your healing power would be released, breakthrough power would be released, Jesus, and we would walk out of here differently because we met the living God today. Lord, we love you, we worship you, we honor you. And if you agree, all God's people said, amen. Man, we could just end it there, right? But we got to read this story. Now, this parable is found in three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're going to read out of Matthew because they all read about the same, but we will touch on some of the different verses from each section because it just brings it together nicely. We're going to begin in Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 9. Many of you have probably heard this story before, maybe heard it 100 times. I would just encourage you to listen with fresh ears today, because God has something for you. Matthew chapter 13, verse 3, it says, he told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen. That's the first word. There's your cue. Listen. A farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath. Somebody say footpath. As the birds came and ate them, other seeds fell on shallow soil. Somebody say shallow soil. With underlying rock. These seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun since they didn't have deep roots and they died. Other seeds fell among thorns. Somebody say thorns. That grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil. Somebody say fertile soil. And they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. So the farmer scatters seeds and they land on different types of ground. There's four types. There's a footpath, there's rocky ground, there's thorny ground, and there is good soil. These are the four types of ground that the seeds landed on. And again, the disciples wanted to know. They asked him, Jesus, what do these things mean? What do these stories mean? And Jesus plainly told them. It says the footpath. Somebody say the footpath. The footpath is compressed ground. You ever been on a trail and you kind of look in the woods and you see like the trees and the brush, but then there's a path that's been blazed through. You can tell whether it's a game trail or walking trail and the ground is matted down. Well, the reason why that it's like that is because over time that ground becomes compressed as people walk on that. That's why whenever you plant new grass, you don't want people walking on your yard because it won't allow the seeds to grow. The ground will be compressed. The seed can't be taken. And Jesus says that this seed, this ground, represents seeds that have landed on hardened soil so they couldn't take root. And so birds swept down and ate the seed before they could begin to grow. And the seed represents the word of God that is spoken. And the footpath represents a heart or an unbelieving heart. And the birds that swept down represent the devil or the demonic kingdom that steals the word, steals the seed from an unbelieving heart so that they won't believe. How many of you know that the devil works tirelessly hard to get you to disbelieve God and to believe the lies that he tells you? Right? So if you think about somebody who represents the footpath. It is somebody who maybe grew up in a non-believing household who didn't grow up with faith. Maybe they're an atheistic family, or maybe they had a bad experience in church when they were younger and they got hard-hearted and they wandered away and they just don't want anything to do with church. Or maybe they grew up in church, they graduated high school, went to one of these schools, got indoctrinated in atheism, and they rebelled. I don't know. There's lots of different ways. But at some point, they got to a place where they just didn't believe and they didn't want to believe. And a person like that is easy for the enemy to come in and just give them every lie and every excuse to believe so that they don't believe God's word because their heart is hard. The second type of ground we have is the rocky ground. This represents really a person that has a lot of baggage. It says they receive the word quickly, right? The ground takes, the seed takes, begins to grow. But because of all the rocks underneath the soil, because all the stuff that's under there, the roots can't grow deep. And so when the blazing hot sun comes, it wilts away. They have a lot of baggage. And what he says is this represents somebody who encounters a lot of pressure, maybe because they've believed a lot of lies when they were younger, so it's hard to believe the truth. And they're just full of disappointment. And so they're like, man, what I believe doesn't match up with what I'm experiencing. And so I'm just, maybe this thing isn't real anyway, and they walk away. It could be a person who's persecuted for their faith. They grow up in a family of unbelievers, and they tell their family, they come out of the closet that they're a Christian, and their family's like, well, we don't like that. And so they decide that maybe it's too hard to stay faithful. Whatever the case is the pressure causes them to fall away. The third type of ground is the thorny ground. This represents a person who receives the word. The seed begins to grow, but it's all too quickly choked out and no fruit is produced because of the toxic things in their lives. And what crowds out their potential? Jesus tells us. He says the lure of wealth. Making money is just too important. Their care for other things. Well, I could go to church or I could sleep in. You know what I mean? It's like just their care for other things. God is not priority in their priority list. There's the worries of life. They're too busy trying to control their life. They don't give any control over to God who wants to bless their life. In essence, they're torn between God and the world. They have one foot in the kingdom and one foot out of the kingdom. And over time, the world begins to win. Their focus is all on worldly things, money, fun, what they feel like they can't control, feeling good, right? These people, they want the blessing of following Christ, but they don't want to do anything to get the blessing. Like, I've known people like that. They're like, I believe in God and I do this, but their whole life is not set up for a life to be blessed by God. And so they end up having their faith choked out. Now, last week we kind of talked about Russia and Ukraine and this illustration with the kingdom of God. Russia has come in and they've basically all but taken over the entire nation of Ukraine. Whether it's for right or wrong reasons, it's just the way it is right now. It's one of the tension points in our world. But if you think of it like this, Russia now is in control of Ukraine, soon will be in control over the whole nation. How long do you think it will take for the Ukrainians to stop living like Ukrainians and start living like Russians? Probably a while. And some of them may even fight it. Did you know when you came to Christ, you switched identity? You're not a citizen of the world anymore, you're a citizen of heaven. You see, we live in that tension point, that transition between living like the world and living like the kingdom. But some of us, we're not just struggling with it, we're fighting it. Because we don't want to give up the old identity. That's thorny ground. The fourth type of soil is fertile ground or good soil. Matthew 13:8, it says, still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. In the book of Luke, in Luke 8:15, it says, the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. I really struggled with that word patient. I don't know if I can get a witness up in here. I don't even like sowing grass seed in my yard, and it takes 2 weeks to germinate. I'm like, I put it down, it should be growing. Come on, you water it twice a day and all this stuff. And, you know, sometimes it's just like, man, come on. Weeds grow overnight. Why can't grass grow like that? You know what I'm saying? But here in these passages talking about good soil, other passages say they hear, they accept, and they produce. So they hear, they cling, and they patiently produce, or they cling to it, and they produce. See, Paul says in Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So these people with good soil, they heard the word, and faith was produced, not just to believe, but they clung to it. They embraced it, and they clung to what they heard. They accepted it. They embraced it. And that's how it was able to take root. And what does it happen when it takes root? It begins to transform. It goes through that germination process. It begins to change things in their lives. And what is the result? The result is fruit. Jesus said, there's 30, there's 60, and 100-fold is produced. Now, this is just the way my brain works. I'm not the best mathematician. Math was not my best subject in school. But if we're counting by 30, shouldn't it go 30, 60, 90? Right? So there's something going on here, right? Jesus invented math. So, like, there's something else going on here, right, that my brain maybe just isn't doing. But here's the deal. 30, that's just a little percentage. That's not a lot. But 60 is double. Did you know your fruit is meant to multiply in your life? It's meant to multiply. It's not meant to stay the same. It's meant to multiply. But then how do we get to 100? You see, the word, the 100, the number 100, or 100-fold in the ancient world, wasn't simply a percentage, but it represented something. It represented the fullness of what that percentage represented. So when a crop produced 100-fold, what they're saying is it produced at its fullest capacity, complete productivity. So good plants rooted in good soil begin to bear fruit, but they will continue to multiply and grow until they have reached their full potential. Do you know what makes fertile ground fertile? Do we have any green thumbs in here that actually care about this stuff? Yeah, some? Well, you can check me if I'm right later or if I'm wrong later. According to KellanyTopsoil.com, good or healthy soil should provide good nutrients to the plants, have good water retention. That means it doesn't drain water away too quickly. Did you know in Ephesians chapter 5, it says Jesus washes his bride with the water of the word? And that the Holy Spirit in John chapter 4 springs up wells of living water within you. And Jesus said, if you were to ask me, I'd give you water and you'd never thirst. Do you see the symbology here? See, good soil has good water retention, which means it's not only being filled up, it's holding on to it. Good soil should also have plenty of decomposers. Now, this is kind of gross. And I don't know about you, but I put out bug killer on my yard because I don't like bugs. We had a foreign exchange student years ago. Her name's Natalia. She came back to visit us one time, and I don't know, it was like Bugmageddon that year. I don't know what the deal was, but we had like millipedes and centipedes and roly-polies and all sorts of stuff creeping into the house. And we were sitting in the living room talking, and all of a sudden she like screams, and there's like centipede like runs across her body and all this stuff. And it's like, ugh, it's gross, you know. Every once in a while, there will be a blood-curdling scream in the house, and it's usually for one of two things, spiders or stink bugs. And it's not always the girls doing the screaming. I'm just going to throw it out there, you know, but, you know, we just have that stuff, so we spray for it and everything. But in the house, bugs are gross. But in the dirt, bugs are very important. Decomposers like earthworms, millipedes, beetles, and ants, they decompose, among other things. They aerate the soil for better circulation, and they feed on dead plant materials like dead leaves, dead insects, and waste, breaking down the organisms to provide carbon dioxide, water, nutrients containing nitrogen, calcium, phosphorus, and reducing these back to the soil for better and healthier plants. These decomposers break down the dead things so that you can now have living conditions. Did you know the Bible calls sin dead works? So if we're to be filled with the water of the word, and that produces life, we also need decomposers to help get rid of the dead things in our life. We need to be getting rid of dead things, not accumulating or embracing dead things. You see, the difference between the stony ground and the thorny ground, really, and the good soil, is that the stony and thorny ground had too many toxic things in their dirt to produce fruit. But good soil has decomposers, things in your life to help root out and clean out the dead things that make your soil toxic, keep it from bearing fruit. What are those things? Well, the most important thing is personal time with God. Not coming to church, being alone with God. How do you develop a relationship with somebody if you're never alone? If you're never one-on-one, you can't. You need to be alone with God. You need to be meditating on Scripture. You need to be praying. Like, seriously, like, sometimes just getting alone just to tell God how much you love Him. Just, God, You are too good for words. And just declaring your love for Him, worshiping in prayer, worshiping in song, and just being in that place where His Spirit can then declare things over you and direct you in His Word for the things that He has on His heart for you, and just cultivating that intimacy that's life-giving. It's like what Jesus said. It's like a river of living water flowing out of your spirit. You need to have time alone with God. And then worship with the church. We were not made to do this Christian life alone. The Bible calls us a body for a reason. If I were to come by with a machete and chop your arm off and throw it on the ground, yeah, it's an arm, but it's not doing you a bit of good. The arm's got to be connected to the body to function, to grow, to be profitable for the body. And you got to be connected to the bloodstream of the body for you to be a working and beneficial appendage, right? You got to be connected. And Jesus brought us together in these things we call churches, these families of faith, these bodies of Christ, so that we're connected to the lifeblood. We have fellowship with each other. We're connected to the lifeblood of Christ that encourages growth in our relationship with God. There are too many people that believe they can do this Christian thing alone, and they're suffering for it. Fellowship with other believers. You have accountability, man. James 5 says, confess your sins one to another. Pray for each other that you can be healed. There are things that God has provided to act as decomposers in our life to aerate the soil so it's not toxic and we can grow and bear fruit. Here's the point. Luke chapter 8, verse 14. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and so they never grow into what? Into maturity. The whole point is God wants you to grow to complete productivity. Full maturity. That is my heart, man. I don't want to stay the same. I want to keep growing. I want to bear fruit. I want to continue to see God work in my life and see it continue until I can reach my maximum potential. I can't imagine what that would even look like. I feel like I'm so far away from that. But growing into maturity, having a heart of good soil is the point, is what produces the crop that can bear fruit. It might start small, but it's going to grow the more you're watered and the more you get rid of the dead things in your life. And what is your fullest potential? What does that look like? It's becoming a fully realized citizen of heaven. It's what Paul says in Philippians. He says, don't live like a citizen of the world. Live like a citizen of heaven. You have a different identity. You have a different citizenship. It is to live from heaven down, not the world up. Too many of us were looking up, looking at all the problems on the world, looking up, God, what are you going to do about it? When God says, I've already done a lot of things about it, you should look from my vantage point and start operating in that. And you'll see miracles happen. But a fully realized citizen of heaven, think about that for a moment. What does a fully realized citizen of heaven look like to you? The Bible also says we're called to be ambassadors for Christ. What do ambassadors do? Somebody tell me, what do ambassadors do? Represent somebody else, right? They work toward the goal of who sent them. Let's just take it with you. You're an ambassador for Christ, walking in love, the love of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. You are to demonstrate, you are to work for the goals of heaven in your life. That's why you're a believer. That's why God saved you and left you here. so that you could represent him and represent his will and work in the world. This is the point of this parable. So let me ask you this question. As we've been talking about the farmer, the scattering seed, and the different types of soil. Out of all the options, which one are you supposed to be? What do you think? Fertile soil? Anybody else? If I were to tell you you're wrong, what would you say? What was that, Belinda? The farmer. Right? Good seed. Out of all the different options that were given in this parable, it's not just enough to be good soil and produce fruit. God desires us to be the farmer sowing the seed. Right? If you look at the seeds are the word of God, the soil represents how people respond, but the farmer is the person sharing the word. Remember in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it's a really important verse. It says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you'll be my what? My witnesses, my ambassadors. You'll be citizens of a new kingdom representing a new way of life. This is what God's entire intention for sending the Spirit is upon your life. He's given you the power of the Spirit for a purpose, to be a witness, to sow seed and produce fruit. When we live by the flesh, when we live by our sinful nature or the way of the world and all in this identity, as citizens of the world, what are we constantly doing? We're constantly messing up. We're constantly giving into sin. We're constantly going the wrong way, finding ourselves in chaos and just falling apart at the seams. But when we walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5, we won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. When we walk in the Spirit, we produce much fruit. And what is that fruit? It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How many of you need some self-control today? Serious. Well, how do we get it? Not by living by the flesh, not by living as people of the world. We live as citizens of heaven, walking in the Spirit of God. So we need more seed, not less, more water, not less, so that we can rise up to complete productivity, not as a plant, but as a farmer who sows more seed. Look at Romans 14, 17. Jesus, or Paul says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink. These are religious rules and obligations. The kingdom of God is not about what you eat or drink, but what? Living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's not about rules. It's about being. It's about identity. And it's about the fruit of the kingdom living in your life. So being part of the kingdom means producing fruit, and when you produce fruit, you will sow seeds that produce even more fruit. You know, we saw the last couple of weeks, we saw that the kingdom of God, it was began with Israel. It was promised to Israel, but Jesus said, I'm taking it away from you as a physical people to give it to a spiritual people. I'm divorcing it from DNA, and I'm putting it on faith to a people that will produce the right kind of fruit. What kind of fruit? The fruit of the Spirit. So not only are you supposed to produce fruit in your life, but you're supposed to help others produce fruit in their lives. Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 and 4, again, look, it says, Jesus says, listen, a farmer went out to do what? Went out to plant some seeds, and he scattered them across what? His field. Not just scatter seeds, but scatter them in your field. If you're growing into maturity, you're going to transition from a plant to a farmer, and every farmer has a field. You have a field. It starts in your home with your immediate family. And then it expands to your neighbors. And then it expands to your extended family. And it expands to your workplace or your school. It expands to everywhere you find your feet. That's your field. Wherever your feet take you, that's the field where you are to scatter your spiritual seed. Now, here's the thing. Here's what gets us caught up, and here's what causes many of us to did not quite make it to the fertile soil. We stay in the thorny ground or the stony ground because we scatter some seed, but we don't see the fruit produce immediately, and we just get frustrated, and we end up quitting because, man, it's just too hard, you know? And that's why it says they patiently produce fruit. That's why Jesus put it in there. He always gets us, you know? But there's a reason. You're not responsible for the fruit. You're just responsible for the seed. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 8, Paul says, I planted the seed in your heart, but Apollos watered, but it was God who made it grow. Too many of us are trying to play God's role. Just play your role. So much easier. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together for the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. You're not responsible for the results, just the obedience. You are to work on growing and growing into maturity in your life, bearing fruit in your life, sowing seed in your field, and God will do the rest. So you're not, if you're not presently living as the farmer, my question for you today is then, what soil are you really? Dun, dun, dun. But think about it. If you're not growing, if you're not bearing fruit, and you're not sowing, what soil are you really? Good soil is kingdom soil. And kingdom soil produces kingdom fruit from kingdom seed that was sown by another farmer. Let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes for just a moment as we get ready for a time of response and the music will start to play. We're just creating an attitude of prayer. I just want you to think about this as Jesus is saying, this is the most important parable. You got to start with this one. You are privileged to know the secrets of the kingdom. Many others don't get to even get this far, but this is your privilege. You get to know the reality of it because God wants each of us to face the truth of our own hearts. Some in this room today, you are the footpath. You've blocked everything I've set out up until this point. You're ready to just go and get to lunch or whatever else you got going on. And my heart breaks for you because just as the enemy has plans for you, God has even greater plans. The enemy wants to steal the word from your heart so that you stay the same and keep heading the direction he wants you to go. But Jesus said the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal the blessings and the purpose and the plan that God has for your life. He wants to steal it. So how does he do it? He keeps the word from taking root in your heart. Keeps you from turning Jesus to find healing. And my prayer is that even if this is the only moment you lean in, you just lean into what the Spirit of God is speaking to you and revealing your need. Your need is for a relationship with God by trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is your greatest need. And that's where you're going to find the hope and the healing that you so deeply desire. It's not in a relationship. It's not in a drug. It's not in an amount of followers on social media. It's not on anything you could put your mind to in this world. It's simply in Christ. It's in a real living relationship. Some of you, you think you're good soil, but man, you're rocky ground. Your roots don't go down deep. You don't know the word. You've not invested in your relationship. You've got a ton of baggage, and every time problems happen, you just kind of bail. You're the ones that you come in hot and heavy. You're giving generously. You want to sign up for every volunteer opportunity, and you get involved. But the moment struggle happens, man, you're gone. And then when life finally gets too hard, you kind of drag yourself back in, and you're desperate for God, and you don't know how things got the way they were, and it's just this reverberating cycle in your life, and it's because you just got a lot of stuff you need to clean out. And then some of you think you're good soil, but man, there are thorns everywhere. There's a lot of toxic things under the surface. And if you are honest before God, you confess that there's unforgiveness there, there's bitterness there, there's unhealthy desires there, there's lust there, there's greed there, there's addiction there, there's a desire for things over and above your desire for God, and you kind of feel good just by coming in here on Sundays, but man, when you leave here, you're no different. Because what you really want to do is you just want to go have fun. You just want to have another experience. You want to have another photo session. You can upload your Facebook page. They're the things you'd rather have than be about the Father's kingdom. And my heart for you is that Jesus didn't come and went through the horrors of the cross because he wants to shortchange your life or cheapen your reality or keep you from fun. He wants you to experience a true abundant life. The world offers us a lot of empty promises, but a life in Christ, a life where you actually give up your life for his cross, man, I'm telling you, it is a fulfilling life that is unlike anything else. And he wants you to add some decomposers in your life and start getting rid of that toxic stuff so that the weeds and the thorns get uprooted and you can truly begin to bear fruit. And once you start bearing fruit, man, I'm telling you, your life is never going to be the same. What kind of soil is your heart? What's keeping you from moving from soil, from a plant to a farmer? And some of you, man, you're a farmer. Man, you have been sowing seed like crazy, but I just sense there's some discouragement because those seeds haven't germinated. Man, I know how you feel. We just celebrated 10 years of ministry, and I'm just now starting to see some fruit from some of the seeds we sowed 10 years ago. I get it. And you just need encouragement to know that God sees, God knows, and the water is on the way. You have not sowed seed in vain. Matter of fact, the word calls the seed of the word the incorruptible seed. It cannot be corrupted. And when God sends his word out, it will accomplish the very thing he sent it out to do. There is a harvest coming. It is a promise. It is on its way. But there is a time between the planting and the harvesting. And that time is that where we're patiently waiting. And that could be hard to hold on. And I just want to encourage you that if your heart is truly good seed and you are truly operating in good soil, then men just hang in there because the fruit is on its way. The fruit is on its way. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, if you're here and you say, Pastor Joey, you know, I'm listening to you talk and I'm thinking about my own life, my own heart. I've looked at my past, my decisions, and right now if I had to stand before God, I'm not sure I have a real relationship with him. And I think I love God. I think I've wanted to serve God, but I just don't know that I have a real relationship with him. And I don't want to leave here today without knowing that I know that I know. And I would tell you, beloved, the word of God says, if you confess Jesus with your mouth and you believe in your heart, God's raised him from the dead. God is going to save your soul. Jesus Christ is going to pour out his spirit to come live in your heart, and he will be with you forever and forever. And the Bible says that no height, no depth, no principality or power in this world, in the seen world or the unseen world, can separate you from the love of God. God will guard you and keep you in his love now and forever. And it's a simple decision to say, today I'm going to put my faith in you. I'm going to give you my heart, and I'm going to follow you all of my days. That's not a commitment to perfection. That's just a commitment to start living on purpose, pursuing the heart of God. You need to do that today. You need to make that decision. And we're going to pray in just a moment. We're going to provide you an opportunity to make that decision. And then some of you, you're wrestling with the reality of your heart, what type of soul you really are. Then when we stand and we just have a time of prayer, when our prayer team comes forward, man, just come and lay yourself down at the Father's feet. He already knows. He already knows your struggle. He already knows what's in your life. He wants you to start getting rid of the toxic things. And the fastest way to do that is acknowledgement and surrender. So when we stand, you come forward and just respond to the Lord. But if you're here today and you need to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need a real relationship with God where you know that you know that you know that He lives in you and you have a home in heaven, then right here, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I would just encourage you to pray this with me. And church, I would encourage you to pray along to encourage those that need to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But just pray this simple prayer. Say, Father in heaven, thank you for loving me in the midst of my mess and sending Jesus to die for me. I receive His sacrifice on my behalf, and I put my faith in His resurrection. And today, I declare before everyone present, He is my Lord and Savior. Take my heart. It's yours, now and forever. Lord God, fill me with your Spirit. Give me the power and the desire to live for you now and forever. Let's just remain in an attitude of prayer. I'm not going to embarrass anyone, but if you are here today and you prayed that and you meant it for the first time, this is a time where you said, today I'm giving my life to Jesus. Would you just slip your hand up and say, Pastor Joey, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. I see two. You just slip your hand back down. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. God, we just thank you for those that today made the greatest decision of their life. Lord, your word says that when a sinner repents, you throw a party in heaven. And I just know that you're celebrating over them right now in Jesus' name. So we rejoice with you. We praise you, God. And I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, you would descend on them in Jesus' name. You'd fill them, God, that they would sense your presence now, God, that you would fill them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. The warmth of your presence would wrap them up, God, just as a blessing on them to know that today they are new. All that's old is past. All things have become new in the name of Jesus. And God, we just declare blessings over them. We pray you guard them, God, on this journey, and you'd encourage them, filling them with the joy of the Lord, which is their strength. Lord, and I just pray and encourage them to continue to come back to worship you and to learn about you and to learn how to follow you just as we are each week, God, that we can encourage them on their spiritual journey as we are encouraged by their decision today. But now, God, as we go into a time of response, God, I pray that the church would not stay the same. I pray, Lord, that we would take our understanding seriously, your word seriously, Lord. And I pray for those who can admit today that they're not good soil, that they've got stuff in their life, Lord, that today that they would respond unashamed, knowing that when they get up from this place, things are going to be different. It may not be an overnight change, but it's going to start changing as you start adding those decomposers, as they start getting into your word, start having alone time with you, God. You're going to start getting out all that dead stuff, and you're going to start breathing into them life and filling them with living water, God. And you're going to begin to bear fruit, and they're going to see how you work in their lives, God. I'm just so excited for what's about to happen. And I thank you, Lord. We give this all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand for just a moment and ask our prayer team to come forward. Be ready to pray with those that come. Don't even wait. Just come. If God's speaking to you, there's stuff you need to surrender, to lay down. There's some toxic things in your life. Just come and kneel down here. We'll get somebody to pray over you, pray with you. And let's just stay in an attitude of prayer for a few moments.
Us at Vertical Life Church. We want to say thank you for listening. If this ministry has blessed you in any way, please consider making a tax-deductible donation to www.vlchurch.tv/give. Thank you, and God bless.